The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Perhaps if there's one consistency in the culture of the world throughout its history is the subject of love. It's probably a very hot topic in every culture, and we hear it even in the religious connotations as well. Even if you were to ask, some average Christian, if they know nothing else about what Jesus said in the scriptures, it was that he told us to love. For some, that's the only thing they seem to remember, is that he told us to love. I mean, just think about it for a second. The scriptures, that's a book this thick, people reduce it to one four-letter word. It's like just rip out all the pages and rip out enough of the page until you have that one four-letter word. You don't need that whole thick book anymore. Obviously, there's more in the scriptures than simply love. And the love is very classified, the context in which Jesus talks about it. But in society today, we even see it as such a hot topic, from whether it's how it's portrayed in stories, the movies and television, how it's expressed in poetry and in art. We have popular songs that speak of it, not the least of which is the popular song, "All You Need Is Love." And then there's another popular song from around the same time. I think it goes, "When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore." Amore, of course, meaning love. Orson Welles once said had all the depth of a Tidy Bowl commercial. But you see it in the social sections, you see it in the political realm. We hear such phrases as freedom to love, right to love. It's thrown and bantered around so many times that oftentimes we lose, as people of faith, how it's expressed and the context it's expressed in the Holy Scriptures themselves. A few years ago, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, wrote one of his encyclicals, God is Love. And he speaks of the whole connotation of love in one section of his encyclical, on how it's presented in the scriptures, and then, of course, in how Jesus speaks of it in the gospel today. And there are actually three Greek words for love that we find in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the Old Testament was written, obviously, in Hebrew and Aramaic, but eventually it was translated into Greek, a very well-known ancient Greek text that is still studied down to today. And the New Testament, of course, written in the Greco-Roman world, was written originally in Greek. And Pope Benedict points out that there are actually three Greek words that are translated to the one English word of love that are used in the scriptures. The first is eros, from which we get the word erotic, which speaks of the physical, the sensual, pleasurable aspects of love, specifically the love between a man and a woman, the husband and wife. And that was the most popular word for love in the ancient Greco-Roman world. But in the Bible, it is used only twice, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, but never in the New, which is interesting. What was socially the normal word to use is found nowhere in the New Testament, and only twice in the Old. The second word is the word philios, which speaks of the love shared between two good friends, and is spoken of especially to illustrate the relationship Jesus had with his disciples, the love he had with them when he says, "You are my friends." There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And it's the love that is shared between good friends. Even in literature, sometimes people often ask or think about the relationship between such characters as, say, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson in the Holmes stories, or in The Lord of the Rings, the intense love that is shared between Frodo Baggins and Samwise Gamgee. And some might even question or look a little too much into those relationships. But basically, they shared that love of philios, the love between good friends. Not lovers, but good friends. And that was the love that Jesus speaks of in the New Testament when he says to his disciples, "You are my friends. You are my good friends." The third is the Greek word agape, which, interestingly enough, was the least used word in the ancient Greco-Roman society, but is the word that is used the most in the New Testament. And that is the word agape, which means a love that is a total giving of oneself for another, a complete and total giving of oneself, the kind of love that Jesus showed when he gave himself totally in his death on the cross out of love for humanity, and ultimately the love that he calls his disciples to, a love that is a total self-giving of one to the other, not necessarily exclusive of the other two words. But isn't it interesting that the most common word used in the Bible is the least common used word in the ancient Greco-Roman society out of which the New Testament emerged and was written. And the most common word, eros, is the least common word in the scriptures, which tells us as people of faith, our attitudes and our understanding of love, and especially as Christ called us to love, is essentially and at its heart must be countercultural. It must be against the grain of what the rest of society is demanding or promoting or pushing with regards to love and what it means. Doesn't mean we shun, obviously, the more physical aspects of love, and certainly not the friendship aspects of love. But the love that is most commonly spoke of in the New Testament, most commonly spoke of by Christ and his apostles, was the least common approach to love in the ancient Greco-Roman world. So as people who are called to share that love that Jesus calls us to, at its heart, we are called not to go with the flow of society, not to go along with the norm, not to acquiesce to popular, cultural, artistic notions and expressions of love, least of all the political and other social aspects of love. But we are called to be countercultural. As countercultural as this was when it was first written and first read to the early Christians in the first century, in the language that they spoke, we have a translation, which is a limited word of love, that is drawn from three different words. But as people of faith, that love we are called to live and express and promote must at its heart be countercultural, not in conformity to the love that we see pushed, taught, imposed by various elements of society, whether it be politics, art, literature, or popular morality. And so Jesus says, "This is how all will know that you are my disciples, that we stand out. We are different from the norm in everything, starting with the most basic message that many people want to reduce the entire scriptures to. Everything, in the end, is about our call to love. But at its heart, everything in the end is about our call to love in a way that is not in conformity with the norm, but is in fact countercultural, controversial, but ultimately in conformity to Christ's basic command. Love one another as I have loved you."